Welcome back to the Vinland Chronicles, a Vinland Saga podcast. I'm your host, Ronnie.
I'm Chayet.
Today, we're here to cover Season 2, Episode 12, titled For Lost Love. What do you think?
It's a weird way that you said that.
Well, it's because, For Lost Love, it sounds very poetic. So, therefore, I kind of said it might read a poem.
But the way this episode is, you're supposed to say, For Lost Love. That's how
I don't think so. Interpret
that.
You said it like in no particular way.
It's For Lost Love.
That's not how you did it the first time. You know that, right?
That's how I think I said it the first time.
Well, you didn't. You want to tell me what you thought of this episode?
What an episode.
Really?
I liked it, yeah. I really enjoyed it because the boy Thorgel, he is a star this episode.
Here's the thing, yeah. By the end, there was good stuff in this episode. It was too long for what it did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I was fully enthralled in this episode.
I think you're lying.
No, I swear. I loved
You're talking about the last 5 minutes, though.
What about the first 5 minutes? I love the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't believe that you were enthralled with the first 5 minutes is my point.
Maybe not. Let's
let's talk about it, and then we'll see. Because, yeah, I was just like, I got a little antsy the first few minutes. Once Thorgil really enters, you know, from scene or stage right, I go, okay, wow. Now we're cooking.
Oh, yeah. And everything with Thorgil in it is incredible.
I'm like, this guy's a crazy person, but also, wow, I want him on my team.
Yes, because he's not, at first he just seems like a crazy person that doesn't have much wit to him, maybe doesn't like focus on other aspects other than just fucking, I just want to kill people and be a badass Viking. You can tell in this episode, oh, he's actually way smarter than he comes off.
And I'm not entirely sure he did anything wrong.
Yes, correct.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's get in it.
The village is hustling and bustling. Olmar is taking a nap on a table. This is the guy who lost to a pig. That's the rumors going around town. Everyone knows this guy sucks.
Okay, and you're not enthralled by this episode. If there's a guy sitting on a table crying asleep with his eyes open and everyone's making fun of him because he lost to a dead pig, I'm instantly in. Okay, this episode has pulled me in and I'm ready for it.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? I already laughed at him losing to a dead pig, and I don't want to be friends with these dorks that are having too much fun with this.
I like kicking a man when he's down.
There's a certain amount of fun that you're supposed to have when someone loses to a dead pig. These guys, it's the best day they've ever had ever.
Because it's not every day that someone loses to a dead pig.
Yeah, so these guys, they've been tasked with telling Olmar that he has been rejected. Now, the guy telling them to do this, he's my new favorite character.
Okay, I knew you would like a character like that.
Yeah, I like this guy. He's a professional coin flipper, is the only way I know how to describe it.
Yeah, he's wearing a cloak. Everyone looks cool in a cloak.
Now, I've heard of, like, professional card throwers, you know, where they cut celery and shit.
Hisoka.
Why is it always celery their go-to? I guess that's, like,
I don't know,
the most solid thing that you can also cut through because it's 98% water.
Yeah.
I think this guy could just flip through steel.
With a coin?
Put this guy on a battlefield with people with swords, and I go, still fair. He's got range.
Yeah.
You ever heard of don't bring a knife to a gunfight? Don't bring a sword to a coin fight.
I mean, the way that he does this to, what is it, a butterfly?
No, he snipes like a pigeon. It's a full-grown bird with a nickel. And, I don't think they're using U.S. currency, but it looks the same shape and size of a nickel.
Silver coin.
Silver piece, yeah. Now, Olmar straight up looks like he might be dead. You mentioned earlier sleeping with his eyes open, which I still believe to be one of the creepiest things. Yeah, there was a kid. I've actually talked with him about the podcast before. I think probably on a Patreon. Check us out. His name was Shane. He was this redheaded boy that everyone thought was like a little bit, or he had
soulless.
We didn't know if then, but looking back on it, you go, okay, that poor guy was a little bit autistic, and we all probably should have been like nicer to him. Isn't it weird? Think about that, right? If you're dealing with a... Wow, I'm really intrigued by this idea, okay? How do you teach kids to deal with a kid who's a little bit autistic but still in like the regular classes because they're a little bit autistic, so they're going to act different?
Nope, treat them the same.
From normal kids, but when you treat them the same, kids sniff that shit out. Like, we all knew Shane was a little bit different, but we didn't know. We just thought he was like a weird kid, but no, he had a little bit of a situation going on. So when he was falling asleep in art class with his eyes open, and then at basketball practice, when he would just get the ball passed to him and turn around backwards and shoot a backward shot in the middle, just the middle of practice. Or no, he did that in a game. He did that in a real life game. Remember I told you about that? Yeah, we passed the ball to Shane at like half court, in like halfway through the first quarter. He turns around, puts his back towards the goal, and just flings it. And we were like, what the heck?
And he's being serious?
Yes.
That reminds me of that movie/film with Woody Harrelson. Or okay. No, not Woody. Who is Woody Harrelson again?
Woody Harrelson is like, he's was in True Detective, White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson is the coach of a special needs team, and one of the special needs players on the team only shoots behind his head like that. Yeah.
Okay, yes. I was taking fourth grade recreational basketball way too seriously, and I was like, we got to get this kid on the bench. He's going to ruin the game for us. He's going to mess this all up.
Yeah, but you can't just let him, you know, go play in a different league if you're going to pull off that stuff.
Oh, treat him normal is what you just instructed me second ago.
And what I would treat a normal person that does something like that, I would say, hey, get in a different league.
You literally just said, have him go play in a special league. You just walked yourself into that trap. So I don't know if Omar's got a little something going on, but anyone who sleeps with their eyes open creeps me out. Do you know anyone?
Dude, it wasn't a... I just watched this. You were the biggest...
what?
You have the biggest How do I say it? Anthropoly?
Find it, though.
Anthropoly...
It wasn't like a pigeon?
What is a... Anthropoly... What is this when you got something wrong with you? What is that called? Stigmatism or something. You've got the biggest Anthropoly stigmatism I've ever seen. Okay. It was totally a butterfly / butterfree looking thing that he shoots with the nickel.
It's not a bird?
No, it was the just literally an insect.
Really?
Yeah. It was, what do you call a butterfly that has four separate wings? Isn't that a thing?
Four separate wings?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like,
man.
A dragonfly?
It was kind of like a dragonfly, yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. If it's any of those, like, did it vanish after the queen?
Oh, it just splattered.
Okay. I'm sorry, I got it wrong.
It's okay.
I don't claim to be perfect. Do you know of anyone who sleeps with their eyes open? Have you ever had that experience?
Oh, I've seen, yeah. Tommy Boy, one of my friends, he used to do it sometimes, and it creep us out, man.
Yeah. Tell him to stop.
He did it a lot when he was drunk. That was just a thing.
So I think I've got this guy. His name here is Broad, which is a stupid name. Is that what
new
you see?
New favorite character, yeah.
He's a member of the Kingsguard, wakes up Olmar. He says
he's a member of the Kingsguard, but obviously not that high up.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that's like...
Which at some point I call bullshit.
Right.
You can't... He can be a soldier, but don't let them call themselves part of the Kings. Thorgil, that's the guy who looks like he's part of the Kingsguard.
That is a part of the Kingsguard. That is a guy that the king would have close to him. These guys, the king would be like, no, they're not getting fucking near me.
Yeah, just because you're a guard that protects the king on a grand level, that does not make you a Kingsguard.
Yeah, these guys are the guys that are standing at the front of the gate that get killed by an intruder. 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, they need to make some more levels.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a message from Wolf. He's having way too much fun delivering this news.
I mean, it is kind of funny, isn't it?
Can you think of any news that you've delivered where you were this excited?
I think, I hate to be that guy, I think I would be pretty excited to deliver this news.
if you could see Olmar in the show, but he doesn't know that Olmar is also like such a douchebag, right? Unless he's just going off his physiognomy.
I think that's what he's doing. He's going off his physiognomy. This guy doesn't have a lot of, he doesn't have a lot of like entertainment going on. So the fact that he can go, you know, make fun of a guy that's crying because he lost to a dead pig, yeah, it just makes his day.
I mean, he really gives it to him. He gives him the bad news. Olmar is ashamed, which he should be. And then this is where I start. This goes on for way too long. They're just really hooting and hollering about how big of a struggle he had with that pig. Any takeaways? Because my notes are getting ready to jump here because I'm not even kidding. It felt like it spent like 3 minutes of just these guys cackling.
No, there's not a big take. My takeaway here is if you're Olmar,
your takeaway should be enthralling. That's what your takeaway should have been.
I'm enthralled. But okay, they are laughing for a very long time. I can't even get to the part. No, my big takeaway is you have to pull the sword out. Right. I mean, Olmar does what you have to do. You cannot have a group of people make fun of you like that without a fight. That's just, especially in these times, like, come on.
Yeah. I agree. You got to unsheathe the sword. He does. They laugh harder. Now, he takes a...
Now, that was the funny part to me, when he pulls out the sword and puts it close to the guy, and they just start busting out laughing again.
Okay, that's his mistake, though. You say you got to pull out the sword. I'm going one step further. At this point, yeah, you don't pull out the sword and then like stand there like, oh, this means business. You take whatever cheap shot you desire. My sword comes out, and then in one swift motion, it's trying to cut that guy's head off. Now, I couldn't cut a pig, so I probably can't cut this guy's head off, but I'm going to try.
Yeah,
I'm not going to have this moment of like, oh, a stare down. Because this makes it even worse.
When he's laughing like this, leaning back in his chair, I'm instantly going for his crotch, like cutting his crotch.
He takes a swing, no cigar. Thorgil walks up with great advice. He says, because basically they get into a little kerfuffle, and then Olmar finds himself laying on his back on the ground, and he just stays there like the saddest...
crying.
Yeah, just such a...
he's such a bitch, dude.
It's so bitch. It is so bitch.
Yeah. Honestly, I wasn't about these guys making fun of him, but then seeing how bitch he is, it just makes me be like, dude, you deserve this.
Because you see, like, he doesn't get hit hard enough to where it's like, oh, it's going to take him a second to get up from that one. It's just like a hurt spirit, and he stays down there for way too long. Yep. You got to bounce back up. And that's what Thorgil tells him. He's like, hey, don't lie on the ground while in a duel.
Yeah. He's like, I've been in a couple of these before. That's one thing you don't want to do.
Olmar basically tells on them, starts crying, or I guess keeps crying, the way you want to look at it. Thorgil pulls him up, and he says, there are only two options for a warrior who has been insulted. You either kill or die.
Yeah, and... Now, were they not expecting Thorgil to be around or to have his brother's back right here? That's one thing that I know when they come up later, they almost say something like, who is that guy? Like, how are they not expecting this? Were they?
Because I honestly, I'm not expecting it because
they're thinking this guy is being such a bitch. No way that
his brother even defends him.
Yeah. Or even is there, like, his brother shouldn't even be around him right now.
Because that's the thing about Thorgil. Like, he came on the scene real hot and heavy, like, crazy, which he is. He's a little bit crazy. But I think he obviously wins this episode. And I gotta say, like, pretty good bro.
That's what I was about to say. He's a family dude.
Because
he literally is a family guy right here.
Even after, family guy, he said the thing. Even after last episode, or during last episode, after the whole pig dilemma, he was sitting at a table with him being like, now he was saying like, oh God, I'm going to get so much shit for sitting here with you, but he was sitting there with him. Still pretty nice.
He was.
And
we get into it a little bit later in the episode, but he literally realizes what's going to happen to his family's estate. And decides to do what he does. Like, literally everything he does in this episode is for his family. That's what's so cool about him.
Yeah. And it is interesting because we'll get to this. The way Kettle is, he totally went wrong in raising Olmar, but you also see where Olmar gets it a little bit.
Right. Thorgel did not take after his dad.
No, he did not. That. So he turns Olmar around, puts him back in the fight, not before a really inspirational speech that I didn't write any of it down, but it was just like basically...
It was basically, don't be a bitch. Get up. You got to scream.
Yeah, because this is a crossroads, and Thorgel realizes that, like, yeah, people might say, oh, he's not being a good brother. He could totally kill these guys, but he's like telling his brother essentially, hey, in these next 5 minutes, you're either going to kill one of these guys or you're going to be dead. And I'm the one that's pushing you into that.
Yeah.
Into that situation.
That's also really fucking badass.
But Olmar, he gets hyped up and starts charging. And just as he approaches, Nickel Sniper gets him right in the eye. And honestly, Chad, I don't know. That guy's so lucky. I'm going to say that. If someone was going to hit me in the eye with a nickel, the way that that nickel made contact with that guy's cornea, I can only wish that I'm impaled with a sword through the throat second later.
That has got to be one of the worst pains ever.
It has got to be. So, he's not seeing out of that eye anymore.
No.
And the pain has got to be so excruciating. Just send a sword through my throat.
I love, too, how Thorgel's the only one that realizes something happens, right? Because it's so quick.
Yeah.
He's the only one that would even pay attention to something like that. And it's like, as soon as he sees it, he knows something's up. He's like, oh, shit. He's probably thinking now in this moment, that's why they came and picked a fight with him. Or something's definitely fishy here.
Because it is. It's a sneaky plan. Like, it's a pretty good plan in the sense of they are totally... setting up.
It's a genius plan because there's so many people around watching this. All that has to happen is for Olmar to do this. They find out he's Kettle's son, and then if Canute goes to take his land, they'll be like, oh, it's deserved. We saw what his son did. Like,
but it couldn't have worked out better for the Nickel Sniper either. Like, one, he got a little bit lucky that Thorgil played the role that he did, but also I'm going to give him some praise here because his timing... He waited for the perfect moment and then got it done. Like, if Thorgil hadn't walked up, he might have screwed up because it seemed like Olmar was just going to lay there.
Yeah, he did say, what was it he said? He was like, this guy really does suck. He was trying to do it earlier, but he couldn't.
So here's the other part of the episode that I really got, like, mad at. Because now we're at the point where everyone is going to be so insulted about what happened around them that they're now going to take their swords out too. And at a certain point, these guys, that's fine. They can take their swords out. This whole crew. I'll tell you when it really gets stupid.
It's stupid that
they initially take a sword out because they're like, okay, now we got to kill Olmar. In that situation.
But that's fucked up still though. It was a one-on-one and he won. In a duel, they still should not do that. I know that's their friend or whatever, but whoever wins the duel, like Thorgel, if Olmar would have lost, he wasn't going to go kill all of them.
Unless they had the mindset of like, hey, that guy was not going to kill you. You were literally laying down on your side, and he could have killed you then. We were just having a good laugh at your expense.
Okay.
I agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate of what those guys were thinking.
You're saying he was never going to kill Olmar.
Yeah.
Until he got serious, right? Because when he got serious right here, he was like, oh, shit, I need to
It'd be
try.
Like, let's say you have to... It's a real weird alternate reality, right? Yeah. Where the head coach tells you that you have to go cut the 13-year-old from the middle school basketball team, but for whatever reason, you both have swords. And then when you do that, he pulls his sword on you, you laugh at him, mm-hmm. And eventually, like, he comes at you, you get a little pissed, so you stomp him to the ground, and then...
But I was never going to kill him.
You were never going to kill him, but out of nowhere, he comes up, gets a lucky shot on you, stabs you through your throat. As your bro, I'm going to be a little bit mad. I'm going to unsheathe my sword, because I got to kill a fucking 13-year-old now. Because my whole point is like, yo, he wasn't going to kill you.
Yeah, but if he could kill me, he can definitely kill you.
Well, I'm a little more crafty than you is the thing.
Well, you haven't seen my sword play.
That's the thing. You think that it's all about sword play, and it's not. So they get the swords out. Thorgil congratulates his brother and says, I will take the rest. And this boy band did not stand a chance. There's the one guy with the, I mean, honestly, kind of hair like you at this point. He's got the most beautiful hair in all the Viking kingdom.
So you're saying if I was a Viking and I have the most beautiful
hair? Well, I was more talking about length. Yours is, I don't know. No, it's fine.
I literally just had a gay gentleman say that I had beautiful hair before coming
again?
Over here. No, I didn't, but it sounds cool if I say that.
Okay. Every time that guy was on screen, he caught my eye. I never actually typed an actual note, but I just wanted to say it up front that guy really had my focus. Did he have yours?
No, I was more focused on the overweight gentleman for some
reason. Didn't clock that guy at
really?
All. Nope.
Because I was thinking, if that guy throws that weight around, that could be a problem.
Okay. Because here's the thing. The pretty boy, no one else has hair like that in the whole show. We've been
season
and a half.
I'm seeing it right here. You're 100% right. It looks just like mine. It looks fucking gorgeous.
We go to the calling card. We come back. The coin is gone from the eye. I don't know how that happened because it basically looked like it was going to just...
Are you sure about that?
That the coin is gone?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say here, too, though, when Thorgil's just slaughtering these people, he almost makes a point to splatter a lot of blood on Olmar.
Okay, yeah.
It almost seems like it's on purpose when he splits a guy in half that the guy's guts and blood just spray onto Olmar, and Olmar does not move because this entire time he's still thinking, I just killed someone, because Olmar is not a warrior. He's the furthest thing from it.
You're saying, like, if you're a warrior... Okay, well, what are you saying? Can you be a warrior before you get your first kill?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that kill somebody, and they don't act like Olmar does. They stand up.
Two things can be true, and my point still stand, like... You think that there's people who they do their first kill and then immediately are like, all right, where's the next one?
I bet there is. Well, yeah, Aaron Yeager was like that. But yeah, I mean, it's just like if you put somebody in the game and they hit a half court shot at the buzzer to go into halftime and they were literally just going in there for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people will still be scared to get back in there. They just threw the shot up. They'll never do it again. But some of those are true basketball warriors,
like,
and they,
Shane, and they'll turn around backwards,
and they'll come back in the game, and they'll do the exact same thing.
Yeah. So you were fighting with me about the coin. You think the coin is still there? I gotta trust past Ronnie with these notes here.
Well, let me see the.
Because no one ever mentions, like, hey, how did a nickel get this guy's eye?
He says it was damaged by a rock or something, so his eye is completely shut now.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe just the swelling was so much that you can't even see.
I would imagine
dude, that is
gotta
be.
What, you think the coin's still just in there?
Maybe, because it's closed, so it might be. I don't know. how deep is it in his eye? That's freaking me out. I don't know what... I've never seen something like that.
You've never seen a lot of eye coin?
No, just
content?
Now the more that I think about it, I've never seen eye injuries like that. I don't want to see that.
Me either. Well, there's another bad eye injury coming up here.
Oh god.
So Kettle rolls up, can't believe what he's seeing.
I mean, this has got to be it's not hilarious, but imagine you walk up to see something like this. You're Kettle, you're his dad, you're
right.
Thorgil's dad. You know Thorgil's a warrior, but...
Tuesday at 11 a.m., lunchtime.
Tuesday at 11 a.m., you walk up to see both of your sons covered in blood.
Right.
And there's five bodies just splattered across the ground.
And a crowd surrounded with just a look of pure terror and just an overall sense of, like, nothing's going to be the same for whoever's involved in this.
Yeah.
They're just exuding that energy.
And because Kettle, we already know he's like a bitch and he doesn't do things like this. So it's got to be terrifying for him.
Thorgil is insistent that they did nothing wrong, neither him or Olmar. Finally, some guys come rolling up.
The thing about Thorgil here.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying this. I don't know if I fully believe that.
That they've done nothing wrong?
Yeah. Even if Canute, there, obviously we know that it's a setup this whole time, but if it wasn't a setup, do you think that he would get away with it scot-free? This whole situation?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, if there was never, Canute never told people to do this, it was literally just so happened.
Canute wouldn't let this fly.
I was about to say, it just doesn't seem like it.
But I can see why Thorgil would say, like, if he, you know, if he's one of Thorkell's men, Thorkell would see this and be like, well, yeah, he did nothing wrong. He's like, respect, bro, he did nothing wrong. Because let's think about it, okay? It would be one thing if Brod, is that what his name was?
Mm-hmm.
He came up, delivered the news, and then just bids Olmar adieu. But he didn't. He played with his food too much, made a big scene out of it, right? So you disrespected the man. So then he pulled his sword, all right, where then a duel started, whether it was real serious or not, okay? And then he killed the guy. It could have been over there, but then no. The boy band had to start unsheathing their swords.
So Thorgil stepped in.
Thorgil stepped in, helped his brother. Like, if he can use his teammates, why can't Olmar use his?
No, I'm with you. Thorgil, to me, in my eyes, is completely innocent here.
Yeah, and they didn't even go to, you know, didn't even have a court hearing. It's ridiculous. It's just these fat guys, they roll up. Who's disturbing the king's peace? And it comes down to this. Canute has done something so lame, which is he's forbidden duels.
God, what a douchey thing.
Here's my problem, okay? If you want to forbid duels in just like the middle of the streets, that's fine. I understand that you don't want, you know, a piece of stolen ham leading to duels between your men, killing each other off, but you should be able to look at any guy and go, duel today, 3:00, mm-hmm. and that should be allowed.
Well, Thorgil said, he said, that is a law, but it's nobody cares about that law.
Right, now that...
That's where I'm like, he treats it like it's rolling through a stop sign, Thorgil does.
Exactly. Yeah, that seems like where he's making his own rules. That's a good point.
Where I'm like, which he's probably right, though. I'm sure duels happen, and nobody reports it. They're like, well, they both agreed on it. Who gives a fuck? But this situation is just so much different.
Well, see, I guess they were trying to arrest them, and then they kind of made it a duel. I was going to make the point, well, like, these Kings guys, they just roll up, and then they start dueling. Yeah, they're all under arrest. Thorgil, he's got no intention of going quietly, though.
Well, he knows as soon as they say you're under arrest, this law must be such a joke, because as soon as they say that, he goes, okay, I was right. This was a setup the entire time.
Yeah, he's, this is where you go, okay, this guy's kind of awesome.
Oh my God, he's so cool.
And he's also got a lot of power. And then this is where I started getting mad. Where I just didn't believe in what I was watching.
What happened?
All these Kings guys, they all go like one by one. And then when one guy dies, they get insulted. And then they take out their sword.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's so weird about these, they say... They say about Thorgil, I just saw this pop up. They go, who is that other guy? And he goes, I don't know, probably a family member. They got to be like jokes of guards, right? Because if they were serious, they would know who Thorgil is, right?
Yeah, well, it's just like honor, we've got to do this.
Yeah.
It would just be so crazy, Chad, for you to see how quickly I would not care about my job if it came to this.
Well, that's the thing about you, is you have no honor. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I got? A whole lot of common sense.
Well, I'm fighting Thorgil one-on-one, and I'm going to win with honor.
You know, it's one thing if it's like a do or die. I don't even know how to explain it. I'm just trying to think, like,
when you see a guy that good slaughter your friends, you're not going to go one by one. It's different if he's not that skilled. He just kind of barely killed one of them, and he's like injured and stuff. But obviously, Thorgal in this moment is 10 times better than these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not be waiting to fight him one-on-one.
It's like, yeah, if I had five friends around me, okay? And let's just say, you know, you're a bit hot-headed. So the 6'9" Viking god comes and slices your head off. I'm going to take a quick inventory of the situation and go, well, there's still four more of us. Let's just get out of the way and let this guy go do what he wants.
You would run away the second the guy walked up.
I'm not going to go, hey, what's the big idea? That's my buddy. No, because I know how it's going to go.
But wouldn't they just get killed by the kings if they ran away? Wouldn't the king just be like, all right, y'all are dead?
So you're saying there's a chance? You're saying there's a chance I could get away?
I love how terrified they are. One of the guys is he's just such in shock that he doesn't pull out his sword till like way later because of what he's just seen. Because it is insane. The way that Thorgal kills them is like, it literally is like Thorkel. He looks like he's on Thorkel's level right here.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's huge, and that's the other thing. Like, okay, yeah, maybe then the other Kingsmen come and kill me, but are they 6'9" yeah. Viking gods? No, then I'll fight them instead.
Yeah, he's literally like a Yams Viking level Viking.
Yeah, it is. It's actually weird that he's just, well, I get,
That's why I think that he actually is like a high up King's guard.
Yeah, he seems like he's got a lot of talent.
Yeah. He's a high-up king's guard, but the rest of these guys are just low-level, like, they deal with, Thorgal would never deal with these random civilians in this town. He's more so, like, close to the king. If anybody attacks, he's right there.
Yeah. So there's just so much bloodshed, and I just got a little irritated at all the guys yelling bastard and then attack, even though they weigh 118 pounds. Kettle knows that it's over. There's no coming back from this. And Thorgal has one question to one remaining guy. He says, why did they let Olmar win? This guy doesn't answer quickly enough, so he takes out his eye with the... Oh, God. I mean, at least the thing about the nickel is it's quick.
Yeah, he does this pretty slow.
But to just take the full brunt of just like the sharpened end of a sword right into the eye socket. Oh. And then he like digs around in there a little bit, pulls it out, just a pool of blood.
And Olmar he just goes, they let me win. He still didn't.
He gets the answer he wants. They wanted to arrest Kettle. Kettle says, what did I do to deserve that? Which like is
It's a great question.
Yeah, in this certain situation, like for as old and big of a man as he is, like it's kind of a bitch thing to say, but it's also such a good question and like really sweet, you know?
It's such an innocent question because, all he's done is just done nice things for the
He's just a farmer that's like freeing slaves. He's like, what did I do to deserve that?
Yeah, that's where Thorgal is just, he's a little bit brighter than Kettle and... God, he needs a son here. Bad.
Yeah, they say that they just carried out Wolf's order, and Kettle says it's over. Canute has his eyes set on us. And Thorgal says, no, this is the beginning. Our enemy is strong. What did he mean by that?
I think he realizes his enemy is literally the king now and his people. So he's like, he's excited to go to war, but... He's like, our enemy's strong. He's like, this is going to be fun. He probably knows this isn't going to end well.
God, that's... Sometimes I get mad at you because you're like, oh, Ronnie, you got to see it to believe it. You got to have more confidence in things. You got to have the will to win, stuff like that. This is a beast level of confidence.
Oh, dude, Thorgal is so fucking cool this episode.
Like, what if you were... getting ready to fight 300 guys, and you go, well, this is the beginning.
You just smile about it.
It's going to be tough, but this is the beginning. There will be a middle and an end.
Yep. But, yeah, I just thought Thorgal was so cool. Knowing everything that happened, literally doing this for his brother and his dad, even though he doesn't have to do it. And there's one more thing I was going to say about him. I've completely forgot.
It'll come to you.
Yeah.
Later, Canute receives word that Quetzal and family have escaped. He says it doesn't affect their plans, like everything.
Oh, I found it. And he actually keeps his word here. He injures that guy's eye. He doesn't kill him, though. He gets the information out and doesn't kill him. I thought that was cool.
True. Canute says it doesn't matter. They've got what they need to punish, and they will head to his farm and overwhelm them. He says they have 102 men altogether, which does not seem like a lot. Honestly, it's just hitting me now. That is such a fucking pathetic number for the being the king of Denmark and England. Why do you have 102 men?
I know. Okay, so here it is.
And
it's
70 of them are hired Jomsvikings.
32 of Canute's guard and 70 of Floki's Jomsvikings. So 102 altogether.
Wait, what?
And then
is he just taking like his top guys?
Obviously the Jomsvikings are like the best Vikings in the world, but he does say, I think Wolf even says, will that be enough? And he goes, that should be enough. Like Wolf's thinking, that seems pretty light, but okay.
That's such a weird, like, what? And also, you're just going to take over a farm. You can't, like, get enough of your own guys. You got to call Floki and the Jomsvikings to help you take a farm? Yeah, why?
Is he thinking that literally, is he getting Jomsvikings just because Thorgal is that good, or what?
I mean, I understand wanting to be safe and be like, well, maybe Quetzal just has, like, an army that we don't know about. It's funny looking at it the way we do, where he's got, like, 17 able-bodied men.
So you think he could do it just with his 32 men?
I think give him 20 good men.
Well, what is?
Well, they what do was have, it that they Snake do have, said? They do have Thorgal. So let's just take. He's got 32 of his own guys. Take 32 of your own guys, and then just see if you can like get on a rent plan for like 10 Jomsvikings.
Because what was it Snake said? He was like, you could easily take over this farm with 100 people, and it's literally 100 people.
Yeah, and that's easily. And Snake might even be trying to like give them some credit. Be like, well, we'll put up a good fight. But
Well, that is true. We do know Snake is good, but his men don't seem that great. I mean, they seem like they at least know how to fight, but they don't seem that great.
I wonder, I know that you've already seen, for him to only send 102 people, but also hire the Jomsvikings, Canute better not go. He's got more kingly shit to take care of. So I'm going to be mad if Canute's like, well, I got to go. Like, help figure this all out. No. You want to do the king stuff, just go send your guys to take the farm, let them write back and be like, hey, we got it. We could have done it with 17 guys. But it's all good. They got a lot of food here.
Where is Thorkel? We saw him
That's a good question.
We saw him like a few episodes ago. I don't remember where he went. He's got to just be in...
Maybe he's just like leading the army back in England.
In England, yeah.
102 men. That number's so weird. Especially since it goes to show like Canute only has 32 guys himself that he's sending. And then he goes, they're going to leave 3 days from now. Why?
Hey. No, the Jomsvikings show up to them in 3 days, is what he's saying.
Which... Okay, that explains why they're not leaving for 3 days, but another point to just like, why you guys got to hire these sellswords? Just go. Dude,
it's got to be, his men just must suck, because we just saw those guys get destroyed by Thorgal. That must be his men, because why else would he hire?
Even if you just drop a line where it was like, well, Thorgal was our best guy, and then you go, okay, so if Thorgal was the best guy in the Kingsguard, maybe he can just like...
But I don't think he was. That's the...
They didn't make a big deal out of him at all. Really weird. Okay. Interested to see how that all happens. So he's made all these plans. The cursed head comes back. Swain says Canute is starting to act like himself, talking about Swain. He says, you'll need to pile up plenty of bodies to reach the top. And then we cut, can't escape this dirty old bastard Leaf. He tells the men they can come out now, and who is that? Oh, shit, the Kettle Boy's being smuggled out in barrels. Leaf, you smuggling great piece
man.
Of shit.
What a great man.
What a shocker that he just had three empty barrels.
Yeah, I wonder where that went.
God, I wonder what he does with those things.
Does he have his men here? He's got the, Forth in here, but let's see if he's got...
Yeah. Did you say Forfin?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay, it does look like one of his random like sailors is there with him. He's probably thinking, you fucking
yeah,
bastard.
He's like, what are we doing?
He's like, well, can't go against him now. There's a giant 6'9 Viking on the ship.
We got two guys absolutely covered in blood sitting in barrels that we go, like, what did I get myself into? He's like, I'm literally just trying to go home.
Yeah. And Kettle doesn't even come out.
Yeah. Kettle is hiding in his barrel pouting. There's not a... Oh, God. That might be as low as you can stoop down to a man. Hiding in a barrel pouting. Well, it doesn't even matter. It's also so
bitch.
It's also so stupid. Like, what...
Yeah, why are you... Like, what are you doing?
If they're going back to the farm, it better be to be like, grab their loved ones and get out of town. Because they gotta know.
Dude, you heard Thorgel. Our enemy is strong. Thorgel wants to fight him.
Surely they don't just get back to the farm. They're like, well, hopefully they don't come. Fingers crossed. Hopefully they don't have 102 good men to come take us down. Ugh. Thorfinn and Einar are putting in another day's work. Good to see these guys right here at the end of the episode.
Yep.
They're checking out the sunset, and Thorfinn, he's like, he's got this vibe of he can feel something coming. And Canute says, all I must do is create my utopia, all for lost love. What does that even mean? It's like a cool line, but it means nothing, right?
Well, Canute is gone a little crazy. He really has.
What do you mean, all for lost love?
I don't even know what that saying means.
Are you talking about this 52-year-old man that helped raise you? Is that that's the only lost love I know of you having? And if that's the case...
Or is he talking about his brother?
Yeah, no. If he is, fuck him. Because... Hey, you killed them, asshole.
He's just like, oh, I wish my brother were still here.
Like, God, for lost love.
Can't believe he died.
For lost love means nothing. That means, what does that mean? It just sounds good.
I'm
going to
look that up.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know what that means either.
For lost love.
He's just trying to be poetic because the sunset.
Here's the only way that you can say for lost love, all right? Let's say if you kill, I'm 40 years old, right? You kill my wife.
Yep.
I can try and get revenge back on you for lost love. Like, I lost maybe 50 more years of loving from my wife that you stole from me. But Thorfinn has nothing of that.
Well, yeah.
Or not Thorfinn. Canute has none of that. He's got none of that.
They stole Ragnar.
Listen, I can be his... let's see. I can be as positive thinking as if I want to be, but if that's the case, I'm sorry to do this. Gay!
I think, too, maybe he's thinking, he's like, the lost love is he was forced to kill his brother and his dad.
Yeah, and so if that's the case, fuck him so hard, man. Like, that is the most ludicrous.
You made me do this. He's saying, you made me do this to himself. He's like, in the mirror.
Yeah.
You made me do this. Okay, lost love typically refers to the feeling of sadness, longing, or grief that arises from the end of a romantic relationship or the loss of a romantic partner through breakup, divorce, or death.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
So it's literally, it can be Ragnar or his brother. And if it's for Ragnar, so sus. And if it's his brother...
Dude, I think it's...
your fault.
I think, I'm going to get very, like, 10th grade literature here on you.
Do it.
I think he's talking about himself. He's lost himself. So he's saying this is all for lost love. His old self.
For lost self-love?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty deep.
Is that pretty deep?
I'm going to need your bibliography on my desk by Tuesday.
I'll have it ready.
On your sources for that cockamamie theory of yours.
ChatGPT.
Yeah. I'm honestly so, the more I think about it, I'm so mad at that just like final, that's just like saying beautiful words for the sake of saying beautiful words.
When yeah, you haven't lost anything, and everything that you have lost, you purposefully lost yourself.
Like, I wish he thought Wolf had like walked away, but he'd actually like stopped to like pick up some stuff on his way out.
Yeah.
And he says that out loud, and Wolf just turns around, looks at him, and just has this face of like, the nerve of this guy.
That's like me grabbing my truck keys, going to the nearest lake, and throwing them in the lake. They sink. And then I go get a new car, and I go, all for lost love.
For lost love.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Canute, wow. You were winning me over at the end of last season, and how quickly the tide has turned. If you want to see what we thought about whatever happens next, and you're on the free feed, good news. We got 3 more episodes out right now that you can go listen to on our Patreon, as well as learn a little something with Ronnie and Chad, just a little bonus podcast that we do.
Yeah.
So go check all that stuff out. Check out the links in the description.
Do it.
And we'll be talking with you real soon.
I've been Chatty.
I've been Ronnie.
Peace.
Peace.